There are several of us at the Whitehead residence in Chester sitting with Mr. Whitehead and Josh David, and we're going to have an interesting morning listening to stories here at the Whitehead residence.
Okay. He got his job when he come back from the Army. His dad-in-law was Carter's, W.T. Carter and Brother Lumber Company's main line logging engineer, and he got him on out there. But I was going to tell the story about Bledsoe Duncan shutting down the brush arbor meeting. They were having a brush arbor meeting in Camden. It was supposed to start at 7, and Bledsoe was coming in with the last load of logs, and he knew it was starting at 7, and he got the boll weevil crossing, and he got on that whistle, and he went to blow it. He blew, and he blew, and he blew till he got on down to the sawmill about 15 minutes. He just shut the brush arbor meeting down. And when he got out at the mill, he quit blowing, and the preacher got up and prayed. He said, "Dear Lord, let us all go to heaven where there shall be no log trains."
He can play a whistle, boy, I'm telling you right now. Yeah, my great-grandfather bought 300 acres here, more or less. And he didn't start this house in 1857, I believe it was, wasn't it? What was that thing then?
Trains blowing for the crossing now.
But
the stone says 1856.
56, okay. And then they finished in 1857, and Granddad Whitehead was born in 1856. But he was born over there, with another little house over there. Then they moved over here to this new house, you know. See all that? That's a piece of timber there. I bet you hit it in the end, it's a little ring like steel. That's original.
And here.
How long did you say it was? 44 feet and
44 feet, 10 inches, or 42, I don't remember.
And it, one solid piece, it's not.
Yeah.
Well, it's a long piece.
And then all of them got it handed down to them, see, but when it come my time, I had to buy the damn thing.
I understand that one.
Yeah, they all of them boys handed their hand out to me, give me my money or mine. I had to buy it. Then they'd cut the timber. His daddy bought the timber, and boy, he cleaned it. And man, there was nothing down there but ruts, you know, where that old truck was. Boy, my uncle was going around, "Boy, we fixed that old boy. I wish they could see it today. I believe it shut his mouth." I cut timber and released it. It's been a good thing for me. But
Carter.
But, old Father Time, I'm going to be buried right back there. I already got my tombstone up.
Carter.
Now, my wife.
Kelly had a sawmill at Manning across the river in Angelina County, and they had a bridge. How far up the river from the bridge, down the river from the bridge there at Diabol was that bridge? 4 or 5 miles?
Oh yeah, every bit more than that probably.
And the piling's still in the river, but they had to cross that. When you cross that bridge, you couldn't even see the track.
No.
Just water.
You just hoped it was under you.
And then they'd have to pull that Buck Creek Hill all the way to Manning. But when they shut down, he was drove the last train across that bridge, and they tied to it. Tell them about pulling the bridge out of the river.
Yeah, we took all the steel loose. We just left it tied together. And after, you know, then we took that engine and drug it off. Because, hell, you couldn't work out there on that no tires. And they said, "When you get right down there, that's when we're quitting." And they did, too. Then I went to running heavy equipment.
That was your last job of running the engine?
Oh, yeah, I was the last one, yeah. But I liked that job, boy. It was nice in the wintertime. You could shut it up, it was warm. And we'd go out there 52 miles to the end of the track, and we'd sit there and they loaded us, see. Then we'd build a fire in that thing, and we'd come home, see. And boy, I loved to run Buck Creek Hill. It's 4 miles. One day we run it at Buck Creek Hill, that big one, and it didn't even tie the traces. You heard that expression? It just spin. we stuck about halfway up the hill.
Oh,
it just spin, the wheel would pull.
Huh.
But most of the time, we just go right on up it, but you pull it wide open. And I'll tell you something else you never had noticed, but an engineer on a train is on the right-hand side. He's not on the left. You ever notice the post office?
I know where the post office is.
The mail to the post office on the right-hand side.
Yeah, right.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Yeah. I never had noticed that. Like, I don't know. I said, damn, the driver's on the wrong side.
Yeah, yeah.
But that's the way it is. Yeah.
So, is this your train?
I didn't run. Yeah, I didn't run that one, though. That's a cabbage head. See that? Mm-hmm. They left that one. I'm a barn of pine knots. Rot.
That cabbage head would catch a spark, keep setting the wood.
Well, there's just a platter in there, and then when the spark would hit it, it burst it up. That's old cabbage head. Now, that's a steam loader.
Mm-hmm.
See, that's a loader behind it.
Yes, sir.
There's a big one. Boy, that was a sweet engine
show
right there.
Show up to the camera. Turn your picture.
That was a sweet engine. That sucker popped like just like a combustion engine.
Was y'all
boy.
Firing that
oh,
thing
yeah.
with
oil? We were pulling Buckhead Creek Hill.
Was y'all firing that thing with oil or pine
oil.
You didn't ever fire none of the.
Oh, I could set that fire and turn the water on and set that like this. 210 pounds, boy.
You never did fire no engine with pine knots?
No. No, that's work. I ain't do no work.
You drove these trains you showed us?
Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, I drove them. There were two and three just like that engine right there. And the four, I had the four here just a minute ago. That was the best little engine. It wasn't as big as the rest of them. It only weighed 55 tons. But it would pull a load. It wouldn't pull as much as those big ones, but it would pull a good load.
So when did you start driving trains? What year?
I don't remember.
46, 7, 8. When you come back from the Army.
Yeah, well, I worked around here, see, and I farmed and done everything. I done everything to make a living.
Sure.
But I don't remember exactly when I went to the engine, but Duncan died.
That's
must have been about 52 along there.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. My wife's daddy was Duncan. I believe that was a common. My wife didn't have any brothers and sisters. We had a son. Well, this, you know, when an old boy gets about 12 or 13 years old, you can't feel him up. Well, she just couldn't understand. He'd come in from school, he'd go by the ice box, he'd eat everything. He'd go do his homework, and then he'd go play with the boys, and then he'd come back and he'd eat supper. Before he went to bed, he had to raid the ice box again. Marge came in there one night and said, "What in the world do you do with them?" I said, "Just feed them, Marge. That's all I know them to do."
They eat a lot.
Yeah. Well, boy, girls don't do that. But she and Judy just got along lovely.
Going back to the getting stuck on the hill, your tires spinning.
I can't hear you.
When you got stuck on the hill, your tires were spinning.
Yeah.
How did you get out of that situation?
We cut the train. We go back about 10 or 12 cars. And it would pick that up and set them out, see? Then go back and get the other. I thought about this a many a time. We had a call a dead man. You know what a dead man wanted you to take a tie and put under it?
Oh, yeah.
If they had made that connection and knocked that tie out, they don't tell how fast that damn load was going down that hill. But we never did. Oh, there's a lot of things that just could have happened that didn't.
Yeah.
Did you ever hear him talk about him like the train running away to Camden?
Yeah.
Who was driving the train when it run away?
I think it was Bowley Harvard.
I'd heard of Slick Stringer.
Yeah.
They were logging down below Camp Ruby.
Yeah.
And the train, he had unloaded at Camp.
Throttle broke.
And when he started back, some way he met loaded log train coming. And he was trying to get back to the woods quick, and that's when they were still firing pine knots. And he had steam, big head of steam. And they looked, and here was loaded train meeting him. And he told the fireman, he says, "You better jump off, we're going to hit." And he bailed off. He kept watching it, and he thought, well, he had the brakes, and it just slid. And he threw it in reverse. It was spinning, but it was still going ahead.
Yeah, he run his dad just killed the engine right in front of him. the throttle. See, the throttle's in the boiler in the front of you. It's not right. You just got a lever back here. And the pin came out of it, and they left the thing wide open. And the only way you can stop it is play that. They call it the Johnson, the bar that makes it go forward and backward. You take the Johnson all the way forward, and just all the way, so it'll use up all the steam, then you pull it back, go the other way a while, go that way a while. You can't, that's the only way you stop it. See, you can't kill the boiler, or you can blow the water out of the boiler. One of you.
Anyway, the fireman jumped off, and he was watching it, and he thought they was going to hit, the engineer bailed off. Well, just before they hit, had it in reverse.
We had 52 miles of track.
Back to Camden, it went wide open, nobody on it.
The car had 52 miles of track with three spurs on it. One of them went to down the river. You know, we crossed the river there at the Platte place. It went down the river. One time we went down there and loaded 25 cars. And then we had to go in there and then back it out all and push all them 25. While we was in there, the river came up, and it was up to the railroad. But you just backwater, see. And you just kept on coming, splashing water. Holding it stayed on the track.
Did y'all back it all the way to Camden?
No, we had to back it up and get it on the main line.
Okay.
And you had to hope that nigger wasn't coming down the hill with a 14. Hope, I said, that's hope. You put your brakeman on the trail on the front car back there, and then when he as slow as you could get it without stopping, let him line his switch. And when he give you that, then you'd come on back. See, hope he wasn't coming.
Which
Platte
place? Which
Platte
was the where you talking about?
The old Platte place, yeah.
Where
it's
was
on,
it?
On Caney Creek. Barnes house on the river.
Caney Creek. Where Caney Creek runs into the river. Yeah, we were going around out of the. That's where I quit smoking.
Really?
Yeah. The fly, the engineer was, I guess I'd been over there about 6 or 8 months. He said, I gotta quit smoking. I said, okay, I'll quit too. And about 2 weeks later, I looked over there and he's making more smoke than the engine was. What are you doing? He said, I'm smoking. I said, you're going to kill yourself. I know it, but I'm going to keep smoking. And he did.
Who was that? Mr. Leggett?
Old man Leggett.
But anyway, when the train, it caught hold, and the engineer and the fireman had jumped off, back to Camden it went. Nobody on it. Yeah. Wide open. And they cut loose from the
you can always tell a Leggett.
They took to it trying to catch it. They were blowing, scared it was going to go through the mill and kill everybody's hand up there. But it's going so fast, there's a bend there where the pine pond was. It jumped the track and run out in the pine pond.
You're from Leggett, aren't you?
Well, I live there now. I'm a city girl. I grew up in Livingston.
Livingston. Oh, downtown Livingston.
Yeah.
We got old Shoat Creek. On the bank of Shoat Creek.
You tell a Leggett. They've all got big ears.
Now, I may have to take that out.
When I got on that engine, they told me, said, this is Bethel Leggett. He's going to be your engineer. That's the first time. I'd never seen him. I'd seen him, but I'd never met him. And I said, yep, he's a Leggett, all right. Look at them big ears. I've had more trouble. One time a guy said needed a guy that set blocks in a sawmill. I'd never been in a sawmill. I said, set blocks. I said, what did he do? He said, he rides the carriage. I said, what's the carriage? So they took me down there. He gave me instructions for about 30 minutes. Then we got on the thing and here we were. You know what that guy that rides the carriage that cuts the logs? I don't know whether they have them now or not.
I don't think so.
In about 6 weeks, well, I was up there setting blocks. I caught on to it quick, see. They got he was getting $16 a week.
Wow.
Straight time, boy. I was getting 35 cents an hour.
Wow.
And we were working about, 5 or 6 hours. So he quit. So I went down there and they gave me the job, see. I went down and I told him, I said, hey, Mr. Rowe, I said, I'm here doing this job. And he was getting 40 cents, I believe. $16 a week. He said, you know, you're not good enough yet. You got to get better. Anything to keep from paying me, you know. So I said one day they decided that, you know, we cut them at dinner. They got through. So my buddies came by, going swimming. Well, I wasn't married. I was about 19 years old. I said, I'll go swimming with you. Well, we're just about a half a mile from the sawmill. Woo, woo, they're blowing that whistle, blowing up the block setter. I was down in the creek swimming. Yeah. When I went to town that evening, I sat up there, the guy on the mower came by and said, hey, where were you today? I said, I was swimming. You was swimming? You know what sawmill running? I said, yep. I asked you for a raise, you didn't give me one. And I said, I just decided I'd take the evening off. He said, how much money you want? I said, 40 cents. Just like that other guy, he said, no problem. Then I only got 40 cents. Well, that's about, oh, I guess 2 weeks, 6 weeks, something like that later. Man, I went that morning, I said, look, I got to tell you, I got to go to the bathroom. I said, you talk with your hands. You can't talk to him, because you're going whoop, 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 like that. He just laughed. He's laughing, you know. But with my teeth all gone, I'll tell you about that too. When a big log came down, I just stepped off the carriage, see. When I came back, he said, couldn't you wait? I said, I told you 30 minutes ago I had to go to the bathroom. You didn't stop. You fired. I said, okay. I was just a kid. I didn't give a damn, you know. I started off planning the performance. Said, where are you going? I said, I got a hunter job. Old Bush just fired me. He can't fire you. I said, well, he said he could. He said, you get back on that carriage. I said, I wouldn't set blocks for that guy. He's the last guy in the world. He said, well, you set blocks for me? I said, yep. Okay, he said, Bush, you fired. Fired Bush and put me back to work. And I quit that night. Well, I pulled some humdingers. I want to tell you, brother, when I pulled over to Camden, though, what's that old Shoneman?
George Shoneman.
Miss Needham one day told me, said, I got a special job for you today. I want you to take that old dump truck. That Carter had an old dump truck. It was beat up, boy. That was beat up. I want you to go up to certain place and you'll find some mixings and they'll load some rocks, old broken up concrete, haul it to a certain place and unload it. Well, I went up there and I got the old truck and I checked the oil. It was okay. The water was okay. Turned the switch on. Nothing worked up there, you know. No gauge. I didn't know whether I had any gas and I hit the start of the thing wrong. So I drove it. For dinner time, I said, I better go get some gas. I said, well, this thing will run out of gas. Good deal. I mean, so I drove down to the filling station. Old Shoneman came up. He was the second in command. He was the highest dude down there, you know. Second in command. He walked around that old truck twice. He walked up to me and says, where's your license plate? I said, I don't know. He said, well, you take this truck back and put it right where you got it. I said, I'm working for Mr. Weatherford. When Mr. Weatherford tells me to put this truck up, I'll put it up. Golly, bummy face, just boo. Yeah. Oh, he swelled up big enough to.
Yeah.
That evening, when I got ready to go home, I looked down there, and there was Mr. Needham sitting by my truck. I said, well, he's going to fire me now. I didn't give a damn either. You got to be strong. Sometimes you got to be a little dangerous, you know. Hey, he said, did you run into Shoneman today? I said, I sure did. Okay, he said, just laugh. I can see him laughing going up. He doesn't, that's right, I'm almost chewing he gave me.
Oh.
The same thing happened on I went to work at Firestone. And they needed some valves on a certain job. They didn't have any. So I went over to a construction job. They were building a unit. And I got three valves and put them in. My boss came up to me, didn't he? He was from Pennsylvania. He said, use. Use, you know.
Use guys.
Hey, Dave said, did you go over to construction get three valves? I said, I sure did. I said, I wasn't going to sit around and wait till an hour or two with the valves. He said, you got caught. He was all right, steal them, just don't get caught. He went off and ooh, 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 ooh. He didn't care either. Yeah. I've been in more trouble. Things like that, you know.
But you enjoyed that kind of trouble.
Oh, yeah. I do it now. I do it now, too.
You ever steal watermelons?
I can tell you a watermelon story, too, one time. Old Fat Dietrich, you know, Had a watermelon patch down here?
Dietrich, yeah, out there.
You know, station. Right behind what used to be Hinkey's store. So me and old W.B. Vinson, Buck Whitworth, and Gordon Whitworth, we were going to steal old some watermelon. I had on a pair of white cover on. I was proud of the white cover on. Oh, they were nice, boy. And we, the old fence was about that high. We just step over it. You know, so old W.B. was a lad. He stepped over the fence. Old Buck stepped over the fence. Just as I got straddled, old man Dietrich was sitting on a stump with a fire cell. What are you boys up to? And he had a terraces. You know what a terrace is, a terrace road? Well, I'd run up on one, you know, and then you'd step and I'd fall. I wish you could see those white.
They weren't white anymore.
And old Gordon was driving the truck. He was driving the car by, going to pick us up with a watermelon. He said, where's all the watermelon? He said, well, man, this is in the patch.
He had a shotgun with him?
Yeah.
were you and WB about the same age?
Oh, no. Did you know WB?
I did.
Yeah. No.
His wife's still living, you know.
Yeah, he was about 5 or 6 years older than me.
Really?
Okay. I'm just 78. I'm just a kid. I mean, 98.
I was going to say.
You're just a youngster.
I'm just a kid. You know, you heard this story about an officer in the Army. See, he was an officer, see. He was a gentleman. I flew with a guy one time. He was a sergeant. He was a first pilot. Flight engine. He was, you know, a white instrument car and everything. That's me riding and running a grader.
After they did away with the train,
after they shut the train down, I went to the grader, and I finally quit that job.
So what branch of the service were you?
Air Force. You didn't think I wanted to work, did you?
My husband was in the Air Force, but I never got that story. It was that it was because he didn't want to work.
I was a flight engineer.
Okay, and so.
Boy, it was tough. Lay up in there, Class A uniform, $7 a day for every day I've ever gone. Sleep in a good bed every night.
Where were you stationed?
Huh?
Where were you stationed?
Dallas.
So
the whole time, world.
During the whole time, or?
Huh?
Where did you go?
I went to Rio de Janeiro, Brazil. Got down there, and they made me stay 4 days. And the money was over 300 to 1.
Oh.
Boy, I gave them a $20 bill and they gave me a sack full of money. I didn't know how to count it. They call that money casero. Boy, we were big shots. Big shots. Wow.
So what years were you in the service?
42 to 46.
Okay, so you're, yeah, okay. Yeah. So were you sent any other place besides Brazil?
Yeah, I went to Rio, I went to Manila.
It all sounds.
Me and a first lieutenant had a little just misunderstanding, see. Of course, he had the bars and I didn't, so he won. Well, after I got over there to Manila, we had 4 days to wait over there, too, you know, so I was watching. And it was shot up, man, it was a mess. And my buddy said, I looked over there, I saw this guy, I said, I don't believe I know that guy. He was that first lieutenant. I went over, I had to rub it in, see. Hey, Lieutenant, how you doing? Doing fine. When'd you get over here? I said, about 2 days ago. He said, where are you stationed? I said, Dallas. He said, I know that. Well, you are over here. I said, I'm not going to stay over here. I wanted him to know I was going home. He wasn't. He was going to stay. He said, well, would you call my wife and tell her where I am? I said, yep, he wrote it all out. And then when I got back to Dallas, I called him. But I had to tell him, boy, I had to rub it in.
Yeah.
Boy, I had a chance. I paid it. We met an old boy walking down the street, and it was hot. It was in August, see. Hot. And there's an old little woman sitting there with two tubs with ice in it. Had them nickel Cokes.
Mm-hmm.
I gave her a dollar, and she handed me a Coke. Handed that little boy to her. She said, give him a dollar. I said, what? Dollar for this? Yeah. Said, "You're in a war, boy." Yeah. So we had to pay $2 for two coats, little nickel coats, you know. Little,
yeah.
Goodness.
I remember when coats were a nickel.
Yeah. Yeah, but it cost us a dollar.